The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
I've got Drew McKissick. He is a state Republican Party chairman on the line with me for my Monday with Drew. Good morning, Drew.
Good morning, ma'am. How are you doing this morning?
Good. I'm good. Drew, a lot of folks are writing me on the Big Rock text line asking, and maybe you can help me here, what has South Carolina done about this critical race theory craziness? Do we have anything in the legislature that's going to say no teaching this craziness, that America should be judged on the content of their character, not the color of their skin?
Well, that's a novel concept, isn't it? If I recall, that was actually put forward by a fellow who was very involved in fighting racism way back in the day. But in terms of the legislature, there are, I believe, a couple of pieces of legislation that are targeting that specifically.
Okay.
I think some of it may be that is in conjunction with, as I recall, legislation requiring to our universities and schools, et cetera, to do some of the things that they're supposed to do but are not doing right now, which in terms of teaching the Constitution, founding documents, et cetera. There is stuff in the hopper right now, as I understand it.
Okay, good. Because, I've got a number of governors across the country who have signed bills restricting this sort of teaching. Idaho did a great one. The guy was like, listen, we're not doing this. His name's Brad Little. He's a Republican. Mm-hmm. He said he was not going to allow that in any public institution. But, of course, Washington State came back and said, oh, no. Governor Jay Inslee has signed into law incorporating the doctrine. So it's going to be a fight across the country. Who's going to have the minds of our kids?
It's a patchwork, and as you can probably well imagine, it's a patchwork that has a lot to do with which political party or ideology is in control in that particular state. We're seeing a lot of that in blue states. Of course, we're seeing a lot of people leaving blue states, quite frankly. Actually, California just lost in this last year population for the first time year over year in over, I think, 120 years, which has a lot to do, quite frankly, with the people who are running California. As you point out, though, there are a lot of pieces of legislation and different legislatures around the country dealing with a lot of hot button issues. And of course, the reality of any legislative body is you can't do everything at one time because, things have to go through hearings and be voted on, et cetera, et cetera. Right out of the chute here in this legislative session, the number one priority was getting the heartbeat bill passed. And that's what the Senate got moving on really quickly because it had passed the House before we knew it could pass there, then got it over in the House. And then you saw them move on coronavirus liability legislation. And now you've seen the House and now the Senate move on Second Amendment related legislation. There's a lot of things on the buffet, if you will, which we all want to have for dinner, so to speak. And it's just the reality of the legislative, system. Things don't move fast, but keep in mind, they don't move fast for a reason. You don't want things in legislatures to move fast, typically, because that's when bad stuff can happen. Legislatures are designed to be slow and to be deliberative on purpose. In order to move something and make something pass, you have to win about a dozen times. In order to stop it, you only have to win once, generally speaking. Piece by piece, there's other things on the wish list that we're seeing move forward in the legislature.
A lot of folks have written in today saying the governor shouldn't wait until June 30th to discontinue South Carolina's participation in federal pandemic-related unemployment benefits. That should pretty much take place now. What are your thoughts on that?
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm not dealing with the labor statistics and other things that I know that they see on a daily basis and whether there are any legal issues with how soon they have to give notice of cutting anything like that off or not. I'm not sure, what federal law they might be up against in terms of, when that stuff has to start, stop, or what kind of notice you have to give. But I do know that there are help wanted signs up all over the state. I do know, just anecdotally, I have a cousin of mine who's in the fast food business, owns about 20 franchises. And he is still to this day having rolling dining room closures because of not being able to have enough people come in and show up for work. Because essentially what is happening now is the government, you know, for the last year to year and a half since this stuff started, has been competing with small business owners for employees. That's essentially what it amounts to. And, you know, until we remove that artificially created competition, we're going to continue to see, you know, businesses, small businesses hurt for employees and can't be open the way they need to, and create happy taxpayers, which is what we need. More people with jobs paying taxes.
Yeah. Hey, Drew, explain to the audience in as simple as possible. I know it's not easy. The whole Santee Cooper mess, and why would it affect people up here in the upstate? Yeah. We only have a few minutes.
Yeah, sure. So you've got, it depends on where you get your power. But even if you don't get your power from Santee Cooper, which is down in the low country, if you get your power from a co-op there in the upstate somewhere, those co-ops are most likely buying their power from Santee Cooper. So that's why it is going to affect you regardless of where you live around the state. You know, what we have with Santee Cooper is a, you know, again, a government created, you know, monopoly in its area, a government owned utility. And yeah, look, it, in many ways it runs about as efficiently as you can expect something from the government to be run and as about responsibly as you could expect it. Which is why, you know, most folks want to see it sold. To someone who can run it, you know, as a business profitably. And that will be good for us, good for other utilities who compete against them in terms of not having to compete against an entity with, you know, artificially lowered debt that it can take on and things of that nature.
Santee Cooper is not, it's not nuclear power, is it?
No, that is predominantly coal.
Okay.
Also water, you know, hydroelectric and coal. I don't believe they're into solar. And, you know, nuclear was obviously what started all this mess
right.
when they were going into business with SCNG, and that went belly up and put us in the situation that we're in right now.
Thank you. After you follow it so long, it, you know, the lines all cross, it gets to be a little bit confusing. So I was, I got a memo today from Representative Gary Smith. He does a really good weekly or biweekly memo about what's going on in the State House. And this year we've got the tax filing deadline has now been passed. So it's the same date as your federal returns. Also COVID, we're down to 1C. So if you're 16 years and older, you can get the vaccination. And then this one kind of caught my attention, the suicide prevention hotline that we're going to print on school IDs. Did you hear anything about that?
No, really. No, I have not caught that.
Okay.
That's interesting.
Well, you know, so many young people do seem to struggle, and I think we're just trying to find ways to help them. So, Drew, anything else happening in the state? I think we've got a convention coming up.
Well, yeah, we do. That is going to be this coming Saturday, which, you know, we have our essentially a distributed in-person convention around the state due to facility issues. At this point, we've not been able to get about 1,600 people in one location. But we'll be in person. You know, each of the counties will be meeting in person to cast their ballots via paper ballots, call them into their respective credentials committee member in Columbia and have those all totaled up. And we can get that bit of business taken care of, and then we can get back to the business of putting together our campaign infrastructure and get ready for 2022, which is what political parties are about. We are a campaign committee, and this is about putting together a two-year program so we can win in November of 22.
All right, very good. Thank you for joining me again. My guest is Drew McKissick. He is the chairman of the South Carolina Republican Party.